Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God as we'll be looking at a few specific passages that relate to our topic for today. The first one found in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and the length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give them. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Then Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. Then Proverbs 24, verse 12, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Again, Proverbs 24, 12. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. And then finally, Exodus chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Father, we thank you once again for your word. Thank you for the counsel of your word, the guidance, the strength, the empowerment that your word gives us day by day. Thank you, Father, for how that you help us to see clearly and to understand correctly as we read and meditate on your word and walk in its wisdom. With every passing day, more and more empower us to be hearers and doers of your word, and anoint us today afresh with the spirit of courage, courage to hear your word and to obey it. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we come to you and we are grateful today for your precious Son, Jesus, who was willing to die on a cross for sinners like us. Father, we pray for our listening family. I think of the grandmother who was concerned about her two young grandchildren. We pray for her and for the mom and dad and the children. We pray, Father, for all the different needs. There is so much going on in this fallen world, but a God with broad shoulders, we can bring these problems to and put them on your shoulders, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for that invitation for us to do so. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We are honored and blessed to have with us once again Attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation, and we're going to be talking about, he's going to share some about the ministry, but in particular, a particular great thing that has transpired in the last few days. Alan, how are you today?
I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Joseph.
Great to have you with us once again. And if you would, Alan, please take time now. Again, you're an attorney. You're the president of the Justice Foundation. But would you take a few moments to further introduce our listeners? There are some who maybe haven't caught a program when you were on before. Tell us about what the Justice Foundation is, what you do, and then we want to get right into our subject after that.
Thank you again. My name is Alan Parker. I am the president of the Justice Foundation. I am personally licensed to practice law, and most of my practice is in front of the United States Supreme Court or at the court. And the Justice Foundation is a charitable organization that donates its services in the area of pro-life to help bring about a more just and humane America that protects life in the womb and at the same time helping women if they're unable to take care of a child.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Well, and you know, Alan, as we get started, I want to mention this to our listeners too. I want to challenge and encourage every listener to pray much for Alan and the work of the Justice Foundation, because we live in a society where dealing with our legal system costs a lot of money. And so to be a legal ministry that does its work for free, it just takes the Lord to really take care of that. So I want to challenge every listener, pray for the Justice Foundation. And Alan, if someone wants to give financially to help the work and to further the mission of the Justice Foundation, how could they get in touch with you and do that?
They can go to thejusticefoundation.org or just Google the Justice Foundation, but it's thejusticefoundation.org, and there's a donate page there and a number of ways people can give, as well as a number of legal resources that might help people themselves and things we're going to talk about today. So thank you for all of those who might consider praying for us, which is always great, and giving financially. There's always a need to help somebody. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's get right into our topic here. Tell our listeners what important event just happened in Arkansas as it relates to the life issue.
Well, I am the lawyer, as the president of the Justice Foundation, for the Moral Outcry Petition. And we have talked about that on the program before, so perhaps some of your listeners have signed the Moral Outcry Petition. They can do that on our website at thejusticefoundation.org, too. But the big, amazing thing is that as a result of prayer and hundreds of thousands of people signing the petition, the state of Arkansas has become the first state in the nation that passed a law that will become effective this June. It's scheduled to go into effect in June. And that law bans abortion except to save the life of the mother.
Praise God. That's powerful.
No exceptions for rape or incest. Those things can be difficult. There's better ways to help women. And we need to protect the human life in the womb. The other thing that's unique about this, it is, when I say it's based on the Moral Outcry Petition, it's the first state in the nation, Arkansas is the first state in the nation that's saying abortion is a crime against humanity. And that is a seriously wrong thing to do. And they're asking the Supreme Court in this law to reverse Roe v. Wade and abortion. So the court, the Arkansas, is saying, we want to ban abortion. We don't want children to be killed or women to be hurt, because many women are damaged. But they're saying, we will take every child that is unwanted. Arkansas has a safe haven law, and if a woman says, I can't take care of another baby, the state is now absolutely willing to help that woman. She can, if she's low income, she gets free medical care and free delivery for the baby, and help along the way with food stamps and things like that. So there's a Medicaid provision in the law, as in every state, and she can drop the baby off at a hospital or fire station within 30 days of birth, and the state will take the baby. No questions asked, no need for an abortion to kill the baby and injure yourself. The state will give you freedom from 18 years of child care. And then the last thing, the state will then give that baby to the millions of women, to one of the millions of women who are desperately waiting to provide a loving home for a newborn child.
Well,
that's the Moral Outcry solution, and all of that is in the law itself.
Well, Alan, before we go further, I want to ask specifically if you'll pray for listeners to really have ears to hear that which the Lord wants to say to them in it, because I believe without question there would be many that the Lord certainly would have to pray much for the state of Arkansas and the law that they just passed, but also pray for the cause that it would spread in the wisdom and the courage that was demonstrated through the state of Arkansas, the leadership of Arkansas, but just to pray that God would have every listener to react in whatever way he desires they to help address this cause in our culture. Would you?
Amen. Father, we thank you for this justice and mercy in this bill. It's justice for the child. Don't kill the baby. But it's also mercy for the woman, Lord. And we want to say, don't kill the baby. Don't hurt yourself. Give us the baby if you can't take care of a child. So, Father, we thank you that you're combining justice and mercy, and we want to walk humbly with you. Father, would you bless this bill on the way to the Supreme Court? Father, if there's a man or a woman hearing this who's had an abortion, I ask that you touch them with your forgiveness. Let them know that this is not an unforgivable sin, even though for the Supreme Court to allow it was a crime against humanity. It's not the unforgivable sin. There is healing and forgiveness by confessing our sin to Jesus Christ, and he's faithful and just to forgive us. And there are healing resources available on our website as well. So, Father, we just pray that those that need healing will get healing. Father, may those who have everyone else hear the call from you by the power of the Holy Spirit, how they're to get involved. Everyone can sign the moral outcry petition, for example, on our website, and their voice can be heard at the Supreme Court. Father, their names can be recorded in heaven and earth on this petition. You see and you know whether people are standing for abortion, the killing of children, or for life. And Father, I pray as we lay this before the audience today that they will choose life and not death.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alan. So, Alan, if someone is listening and they're thinking to themselves that they have not signed that moral outcry petition and they want to, and I think you said you have it right now, you have over 250,000 signatures, but you still need more, right?
Yes. One of the things we do with the signatures, we've made a huge scroll of it. When we got the first 250,000, which is 250,000, we made a 150-foot long, 5-foot wide vinyl scroll with all the names on it. And we rolled that out in the Arkansas Rotunda and up the steps leading to the Senate of the Arkansas Senate. And it made a powerful impact on the media and on the legislators. Hmm. And on the day of the Arkansas vote, there was a picture of that scroll with the sponsors of the bill and all the names on it. And it reminded people, this is a crime against humanity. We all must do something. So if you want to sign that scroll, and then since that time when we made that scroll, we are up to over 350,000 now. Our goal is to have 1,000,000 this year, and we're going to make scrolls as long as we need to have all these names. So you can sign it at thejusticefoundation.org, which we've mentioned a lot, or there's a separate moraloutcry.com, themoraloutcry.com. And you can sign it with your mouse. You actually can put your signature on it, your mouse or your finger on a cell phone. And then what happens then is your name, but no other data about you, so nothing personal because there's lots of names, but like Alan Parker will be listed in the briefs at the U.S. Supreme Court saying you agree with the reasons in the moral outcry, including it's a crime against.
Okay. Well, we'll pick up on the other side. Our phone guest today is attorney Alan Parker, the president of the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back.
Face a million different ways I gotta trust, but there's only one decision: how to live, how to love. Jesus, because you are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise. Won't you lead me in my choices? My choices. I believe that faith is nothing if it isn't everything. Every heartbeat, every moment, whatever this day brings, this song I will sing. You are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise. Won't you lead me in my choices? My choices.
Music of J.J. Weeks, Choices. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation. And Alan, if we could just kind of hang here for just a minute. We're talking about the moral outcry petition, and you indicated you have a lot of signatures, but you really need a lot more. So if someone's listening, they can tell them again, if they want to sign it, how they can go and sign the petition.
Okay, go to thejusticefoundation.org and click on The Moral Outcry. That's one way to do it. Or themoraloutcry.com. You can Google Moral Outcry and it comes up first on Google. So either way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But why is it important? That's a great question. And because normally we kind of want judges to be above public opinion, and we don't normally, we want them to follow the law. But there's a special branch of the law called stare decisis, is the Latin term, but in common language it's the law of judicial precedent. When do we follow a Supreme Court decision? When do we reverse it? Because the Supreme Court has overturned its opinions over 200 times. All Roe v. Wade is, which is the case that said you have a constitutional right to abortion, that wasn't, it didn't amend the Constitution. Only the people can do that. It was a decision of the Supreme Court interpreting the Constitution, and judges get it wrong. And I'll just say this too. One reason we call abortion a crime against humanity is because the Supreme Court has made other terrible court decisions that were a crime against humanity, including slavery in the Dred Scott decision just before the Civil War. The court said, we're going to have slavery forever under this Constitution, and it helped provoke the Civil War, which was necessary to end slavery. Mm-hmm. And then after the Civil War, the Southern, once the Republicans left and they took the military with them, and the Democratic Party at that time got power again, they began segregation. And in 1896, the Supreme Court in Plessy versus Ferguson said, you know what, the Constitution says you're supposed to have equal rights, and that's what the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment were, to give African Americans equal rights. But the Supreme Court said, oh, separate but equal is okay. We'll do that. So they give less than equal protection. They give separate but equal protection. And that was a horrible decision that it took them until 1954 in Brown v. Board of Education, 58 years, and then they reversed their own Supreme Court decision. They didn't create new constitutional rights. Equal protection was in the court. The 14th Amendment was passed to give African Americans equal protection. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Now, why is it important? Under the law of judicial precedent, one of the reasons for overturning a Supreme Court decision, if it has been met with general dissatisfaction, protest, and severe criticism. So when you sign the petition, you are creating evidence of severe criticism of Roe v. Wade. Mm. And the more people criticize it, the more likely it is to be overturned. Because there's no exact number. It's like, well, this is a horrible crime, and it hasn't been accepted by the American people, and millions of people think it's a crime against humanity. It's time for us to reverse Roe v. Wade. Whereas something like Brown v. Board of Education, that's come to be accepted by America. And women's right to vote was written into the Constitution by a member of the people. Nobody's changing those things. But abortion is one of the most controversial issues of our day. There is dissatisfaction. But calling it a crime against humanity is a very new form of the severest level of criticism. What is a crime against humanity? When the government withdraws legal protection from a class of human beings, just like they withdrew legal protection from slaves before the Civil War, and then from African Americans who had to undergo segregated society and all of Jim Crow. So that's what we're doing to the child in the womb. And the Supreme Court has already admitted it's an infant life, and the court has admitted it hurts women. In Gonzalez v. Carhart, they said, some women come to regret aborting the infant life they once created and sustained. So at the moment of abortion, it's an infant life. And then the court said severe depression and loss of esteem can follow. And so that's horrible. And then in 1992, the court said abortion can cause devastating psychological consequences. So again, if you're a woman who's had an abortion, you can go to our website, and under the Operation Outcry, you can give us your testimony about how abortion hurt you, and we'll give that to courts and legislatures considering banning abortion. For example, in Arkansas, we gave them 4,661 of these legally admissible testimonies that we collect on our website through Operation Outcry. We gave them 4,661 testimonies of women hurt by abortion. 108 of them were from Arkansas directly. And so the court can tell, we thought abortion was good for us, and we thought it was good for women. We wanted to give them freedom from unwanted child care in 1973, but we didn't have millions of women having abortions. Now we know how devastating it can be, and we can give people the freedom of Roe v. Wade without the devastating human cost, killing a baby and hurting a woman.
Well, you know, just like, for example, there are lots of listeners listening right now. If they were to say, well, Attorney Parker, what difference does my one signature make? How would you respond to that question?
I believe that just like, you know, if you were the only voice in America, you might not have that much of a sway. But you're joining what I like to think of as a spiritual army of justice. When that scroll was rolled out in the Arkansas Senate, it was like chills on many people who were there. And it influenced the senators. That's what we're thinking. That's what we're going to try to do with the Supreme Court. And so that's why we need a million signatures, but it takes every single one to get to a million. And let me say this. If you have a passion for pro-life, this is something everybody can do. It doesn't cost you anything. Just sign the petition. We won't share or give your names to other groups. We will contact you periodically, letting you know that we filed another brief at the Supreme Court, or here's what happened. But you can unsubscribe at any time. You know, we just want to, we'll acknowledge that you signed it and that, and if it's interesting, you can stay on. But your signature has to be part of an army. It's true, a single signature, but this is already having 350,000. American Family Association helped us collect some of these. Other groups like Dr. Dobson are helping collect it. Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King, is helping us collect signatures. Priests for Life, different groups. This is something that the whole pro-life movement has endorsed. Over 50 national leaders have endorsed this, but we need everybody to get involved. And not only that, when you sign it, then you can share it. There is the share functions on there. Mm-hmm. Put it on your social media. Send it to your friends and ask them to sign it too. Mm-hmm. In fact, next week we're having our first ever recruiters training meeting. Mm-hmm. And we already have over 400 people signed up to be recruiters for the Moral Outcry. Mm-hmm. So your signature is part of the effort, but many people are involved in this effort, and you can become what I think is as important as ending slavery and ending segregation was in America. Mm-hmm. This is, Albeda King, Martin Luther King's niece, says, this is the civil rights issue of our day. Mm-hmm. And I say, this is the greatest injustice in the world today. Mm-hmm. We're killing almost 600,000 to a million children a year in America, depending on how you calculate it, and some of it's unknown. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of death every year. And God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Mm-hmm. I believe our nation will be judged by Almighty God and has been being judged for four things. Number one, we've turned away from God as a nation, and the mm-hmm. Supreme Court did that. Number two is shedding innocent blood. God hates the shedding innocent blood, and we're doing sexual immorality on a mass scale, and we are very greedy in America. Mm. And those four things can bring national destruction. In fact, I think the 9/11 attack was a warning by God for us to return. Mm-hmm. I think the COVID disease is a call to God to return to Him. It says, mm-hmm. if you return to me, I'll heal your land when you have a pestilence.
That's right.
I just don't think we've turned back to God enough. Mm. And we need to have a Supreme Court who would be willing to honor God again, as it did before 1962, when it took prayer out of school, voluntary prayer out of school. We don't want to force anybody to pray. And mm-hmm. But if the majority wants to pray, and we acknowledge that there's a God, and we want to ask God's blessing on our schools, that should be allowed to be done. Those that want to not participate can just be silent while it goes on.
That's
so,
right.
But particularly, we need to stop the shedding innocent blood. And Operation Outcry, we've mentioned that a little bit. What I know about abortion, and maybe I should have said this at the beginning, what I know about how abortion hurts women is comes from the 4,660 women who've told us about it in writing. And it can cause nightmares, psychological depression, loss of esteem, suicidal thoughts, suicide, and all sorts of psychological problems. If you have an abortion, you have an 81% increased risk of having depression and other major psychological problems. And mm. you know, not just being depressed for a little while, but maybe depressed for decades. Inability to bond with your other children. It can destroy relationships, mm-hmm. Particularly if a man is forcing you to have an abortion or just doesn't act like he cares. A lot of times when a woman gets an abortion to save her relationship with the man walks away anyway. And this is to have compassion on women. We want to get them healing through Operation Outcry, become bold witnesses for the truth that abortion hurts women. Mm-hmm. And then if a woman is listening right now and she's pregnant and she doesn't know what to do, call the Justice Foundation. There are private pregnancy help centers, over 3,000 of them in America, more than there are abortion facilities, mm-hmm. that will help you just get through the pregnancy and give you counseling and help you get the social services that you need. We can find one in your area that will do that. But the other thing is, you have a legal right in all 50 states to say, I can't take care of this baby. I just can't. Maybe I had 5 children already, and I can't do this. But instead of aborting the child and bearing the guilt of that and the weight of that trauma, then you can use the safe haven law in your state and drop the baby off at a fire station or hospital within a set period of time. And you can call us or you can Google safe haven and just find out from your hospital how much time you have. It's like 3 days in a state like California, but even California, which is very abortion-oriented, they have this law. It's 30 days in Arkansas, where the law just passed, and I live in Texas, and I'm talking to you from Texas. It's 60 days in Texas. So short period of time is somewhat common, then 30, 60, or 90 days are the most common periods.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and so as far as the challenge to every listener then is that you're encouraging every listener to sign the petition as well as to forward it to others so that they in turn can be involved in helping to kind of recruit others to sign it as well then, right?
That's exactly right. And your name will literally be placed in a drop box in a footnote in our briefs. We've done this. The first time we did it, we had 74,000 names. The second time, we had 220,000 names. Our last brief at the Supreme Court, which is in the Mississippi late-term abortion ban case, we had 336,214 signatures. Mm-hmm. So you can see that the number is growing. It's a growing movement. It would have been 7,000 pages long if we had filed it in writing with the Supreme Court. And they won't let you do that, but technically we put it in a drop box, and all the names are there in the brief, and the court can see them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's recorded in the official records, and it has an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this.
We're coming up on a break, and we're going to pick up on the other side right there. Our phone guest today is Attorney Alan Parker, the president of the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back. Music of Phillips, Craig, and Dean, the Revelation Song. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Father, we thank you once again for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for us as a nation. Help us as the Church and as a nation to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth and help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation. And Alan, if you can pick up where you left off on the other side of the break.
All right. I was just getting ready to talk about ways that the work of the Justice Foundation in this area has already impacted the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do that, I want to say that it's all because of God, and that God deserves the credit and the glory. Yes, he told us to collect, how you hear from the Lord, he told us to collect the testimonies of women hurt by abortion
mm-hmm.
and go back to the Supreme Court. And we began to represent Norma McCorvey, who was the Roe v. Wade, and her legal efforts to reverse abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done a lot, and twice already, the testimony of women that we collected through this project has been cited four times by the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, unusual. And in what happened in 2007, again, remember, as I discussed it, that this is the third argument of the moral outcry. Why should Roe v. Wade be reversed? Because abortion hurts women. So in 2007, the Supreme Court upheld the federal ban on partial birth abortion. And they did so, and we represented 180 women hurt by abortion in that case. Mm-hmm. And we gave them their testimonies to the court and a friend of the court brief. That's how we do it. Some people ask me, you know, we file written briefs mm-hmm. and we present all this evidence. And the court cited that women's testimony twice. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's because God told us to do it. We were obedient. And the word of the Lord says, how do you overcome Satan? And Satan is the one who wants to lie and steal and kill and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
So he is the God of death. Jesus is the Prince of life. Mm-hmm. And you know, we want to choose life. Life is better than death. Anyway, Revelation 12:11 says, how do we overcome Satan? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Mm-hmm. And that they love not their lives unto death. So the court upheld the ban on partial birth abortion, outlawing it at the federal level, and saying whether or not to have an abortion is a difficult and painful moral decision. It seems unexceptionable to conclude that some women come to regret aborting the infant life they once created and sustained. See brief of Sandra Cano and 180 women hurt by abortion. It actually says et al, which means and others, but the others are 180 women hurt by abortion, page 22 to 24. So they, for the first time ever, they called it an infant life instead of fetus or potential life, which mm-hmm. they had said before it was. And they cited 22 to 24. What's on those pages? The testimonies of women hurt by abortion and the devastation that it causes them. Things like nightmares of a bloody baby at the foot of their bed with a knife in their hand. Anniversary reactions where when the baby should have been born, they just grieve for a solid month and things.
Mm.
So the court then cited severe depression and loss of esteem can follow. IBID, which means same site, and again, that's the page with the women's testimony. So we don't have to speculate as to what affected the court's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We know the court put it in writing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's two times. And then this last year in 2020, in the Louisiana Hospital Admitting Privileges case, the women's testimonies were cited, and the reality of the bad things that go on abortion clinics was cited by Justice Alito in a concurring opinion that he wrote, and by Justice Gorsuch in a concurring opinion that he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
So that's four times that we know in writing. Now, there's other times when you file a brief, and it may, I think everyone says amicus curiae or friend of the court briefs have an influence, but often you don't know that it was your particular brief,
mm-hmm.
but God let us know. And I think that was to keep us going, to continue to collect more testimonies and more signatures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to do. And what do we need to do? We need to be faithful until he achieves justice.
That's right. That's right. I want to ask specifically, would you pray for the church to courageously rise to the occasion, to really be involved, both the leadership, pastors, and other leaders, but the church as a whole, to really get involved with this important cause?
All right. I might just say a couple of things. In Arkansas, the leadership was very critical.
Mm-hmm.
On the Senate side was Senator Jason Raybert, and mm-hmm. he was a Christian lawmaker.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm going to pray for this after I pray. I'm going to pray, as you said, but I want to just tell a little bit why I'm going to pray
okay.
for the church and those in the church and pastors to be involved in government. Representative Mary Bentley on the House side of Arkansas was the House sponsor. She's also a Christian lawmaker. Why do I know that? Because they founded an organization called the National Association of Christian Lawmakers. And they're urging other Christians to run for office and to educate. Now, as Christians, we believe in a Christian nation with religious liberty. If you're not a Christian, you don't have to be afraid we're going to make you believe in Jesus Christ and behead you or something if you don't do it. But there's nothing wrong with Christians being involved in government. We have as much right to do anything as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You can be against slavery because it was immoral, and it's against God's law. You can be against human trafficking because
mm-hmm.
it's immoral. And so I'm going to pray that more people become Christian lawmakers. And if you want to, you can be an armor bearer for them and support their organization at National Christian Lawmakers Association. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to pray for the church.
Okay.
Father, 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 I lift up the body of Christ to you. Father, you told us to be salt and light in the world.
Yes, Lord.
You told us not to hide our light under a bushel. And Father, I don't want to be arrogant because it's you who've revealed the truth to us. Life is better than death.
Yes,
choose life. But this is a dark world right now. Many people don't know that. They think that choosing the death, they're sold a lie, it's just a blob of tissue, and then they step into Satan's trap. Father, we pray for healing to occur among the body of Christ and for us to be healing. We pray for the abortion recovery movement. Father, we pray for pastors to be bold to speak about abortion and to offer healing through Jesus Christ. We pray for pastors to recognize there are people in the church that should be encouraged to run for public office. And Father, we pray that someone will run for office, starting maybe at their school board or their local city council. Be faithful in little, and then much will be given to you.
Yes, Lord.
So, Father, we pray for an end to injustice. We pray for an end to black genocide, which is killing minority babies in the womb at a greater weight than any other population of group in America. Father, it's like racism against the black community because the abortion facilities are put in their neighborhood and their poverty is preyed upon, Lord. Help us to stop killing black children who are killed at greater proportion and all children in America. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Alan. Alan, I want to ask you this specifically, too. You know, I think of this that, you know, some people would consider themselves in a more of a position of leadership or influence than others, but every single person is in a position of influence in their life in some capacity. And so every one of us can help make a difference through our prayers, through our advocacy, speaking up as we have our in any and all the contexts we find ourselves, speaking up about life within our family, within maybe amongst coworkers, fellow church members. All of us can be a witness for the cause of life. And so a challenge we want to make before every single listener is to understand this. All of us can speak up for this important cause. Lord, thank you for every single listener. Touch every single listener. Stir them to seek you for wisdom insofar as how you would have them to get involved with the important work of boldly and aggressively standing for life and helping to end abortion. And help us to never believe the lies of the enemy to tell him there's nothing we can do. Help us to know there's always something we can do. Help us to be courageous servants. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You know, Alan, our time is almost gone, but just briefly, you know, a passage that we read near the beginning about the two midwives in Exodus chapter 1, they used their position of influence to help save the life of many babies, but possibly help to save the life of Moses. So in other words, you could say that between Shipra and Puah, the midwives, and Moses' mom and Pharaoh's daughter, they helped to deliver the deliverer. By courageously standing up. So any thoughts that come to your mind that you'd want to
Our website has many of those resources that people can use to prevent even a forced abortion today. Mm-hmm. Forced abortions are illegal in every state, but it's one of the damage that abortion does to women. Mm-hmm. Once you make it legal, sometimes the man can say, I don't want this baby. Get them down there and get an abortion and use coercion and force. Parents can force a minor girl to do it. So on our website, under forced abortion, you can find legal tools that are just letters you can give to the parents of a girl who's being forced to have an abortion. Or you can pass it out in schools. There's a number of legal tools if you just go to thejusticefoundation.org and look at the website or sign up to get our emails, and we send them out periodically. It's all free. You know, we don't charge anything for our legal services, and we're saving about 1,000 to 2,000 babies a year, we estimate, with these legal tools against forced abortion.
Okay. The different letters then. So, well, Alan, again, it's been great to have you come on and share. And before we end our time, I want to say to our listeners, there might be someone listening who maybe you've been down the road of abortion and you've lived to regret that decision. Women or maybe men have been involved with forcing it. Keep in mind, we serve a merciful Heavenly Father. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're a listener and you have never given your life to Jesus Christ and or you recognize a need to seek God's forgiveness, I want to invite you to pray this prayer of salvation with me now. Today is a good day to get saved. Today is a good day to seek God for the forgiveness that He can give to us and cleanse us anew. Would you simply, if you're a listener, pray this prayer with me if you'd like to make that important step of giving your life to Jesus today. Pray this prayer with me if you would. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much, that you love me so much. You came to this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrongs I've done. Lord Jesus, right now, I ask you, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, our email is jparker@afa.net. We'd really like to hear from you. Alan Parker has been our guest today. Alan, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It's a great honor.
All right. Always a blessing to have you and continue the great work that you're doing. And once again, if they want to sign the Moral Outcry petition, tell them again how they can do that.
Go to thejusticefoundation.org or themoraloutcry.com.
All right. Thank you so much. And thank you, all you that are part of our listening family. Pray much for the work and ministry of Attorney Alan Parker and the Justice Foundation. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.